There we go. Hello and good afternoon. It's been a while since I've done a security tape, so that's what this is. This is security for high wealth individuals. I've had, unfortunately, quite a bit of experience with this because I've been taken. I was kidnapped once. And so a lot of what I talk about is how to keep safe and how to not let that happen to you again. So I'm going to do a Telegram disclaimer and then we'll get right back into it. Here's Kanaka.
The material and information contained or given on this website or audio files are for general information and entertainment purposes only. All parties on this channel are not lawyers or financial advisors. You should not rely on this material to make any business decisions. While this channel does endeavor to keep the info up to date and correct, RV Project Help makes no representations, warranties of any kind, express or implied about the completeness, accuracy, reliability, suitability, or availability with respect to the website, information products, services, audio files, or related graphics contained on this website for any purposes. All due diligence is the sole responsibility of the participant.
That's Kanaka. I really appreciate him doing that. Can you tell he's a great big Hawaiian guy with a great big Hawaiian voice? How can you not love that fabulous deep voice? Anyway, my name is Miss Parker. I started out with 911 Project Help, and then we went to RV Project Help. And I'm really not writing documents anymore for people, although I'm really not good at saying no. So if you do have a document that you haven't got finished yet, this is kind of my thing in the beginning. I'm gonna post one thing before I start getting into this because I really want people to be able to get the most that they can out of this. So let me go and I want to get this one thing started. Files. So here is I try to always put this up every time I do a live. This is the called the XTC Humanitarian Project. This is a template that you can use to write your documents. If you get it done and want me to look at it and help you, please let me know in the channel. Say, hey, I've got a DM for you, and then I can help you. So with all that housekeeping out of the way, let's go. Again, my name is Ms. Parker, and I appreciate that you're here. Having financial wealth, if you've never had it before, for a lot of people, is a pretty interesting concept. It's a new concept. And a lot of the things you think about high wealth isn't really the way things happen or work at the end, okay? I've been worth several million dollars, lost it all. We're several million dollars again, lost it all. Last time I lost 40 million. So, what's wrong with you, Parker? How come you can't keep money? I'm in the cannabis industry, folks, and unfortunately, that's just what happens. Thank God we're at a period of time where they just take your money, they don't put you in jail anymore. So, because I've had that up and down with funds and financing, I've actually learned a lot more than most people that are high wealth that have had big wealth and then lose it, and then oftentimes they don't get it back again. Thank God cannabis is different. So we've all seen wealthy movie stars, we've all seen wealthy sports heroes, we've seen the wealthy elite, and most people have never experienced this kind of wealth personally. So the thing about high wealth is wealth equates to most people to power in the public eye. You look at, oh, they're wealthy, they're powerful, they have notoriety, or they have influence. And then what happens in time is the money becomes secondary to all of these things that they've worked so hard to achieve. And then the next phase of the high wealth is their status and their image now must be maintained through other ways. And that's usually greed or indifference, and not love and compassion. So as we are going to be humanitarians, that change of a mindset is major. And it can cause a lot of problems if you're not ready for it. So that's why I want to do these talks, is so that people get ready for the high wealth, because it's a shock. Every time it happens, it's a shock. I call it going up, and that means that's my term for being wealthy. I call it going up. I've gone up 3 times, and the first time it was pretty much a shock, but after that, it really wasn't. And one of the things you have to remember is all of the things that you are about to do, you're going to have a lot of what we call first time to do this, first time to do that. And what you're going to find is many of these elites, they had these first two and they got bored. And because they got bored is how come a lot of these guys got into trouble. Because once you've done something a couple times, you don't get that big charge out of it. So be careful giving away your firsts. You know, be careful with that. Don't just jump in and do a whole bunch of firsts right at the beginning, because it makes it a little difficult, makes it a little harder. So just be careful with what you do with your firsts. And a lot of people say, you know, I'd never trade my soul for a single dollar. But the problem is, being a humanitarian is based on wealth. So you got to run that fine line, you know, you got to run that fine line between wealth and doing a good job, you know. I want to get this picture up so I can have it to show for you guys. Wealth based on a humanitarian project, you can't have any ego. There's no place for ego in this, because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to try to take away what for most of us, we've been doing this for 5 years. They're going to try to take away the wealth that you have for their own greed and power. And I think that that's going to be the case for about 5 years, until the wealth distributes and people start to learn that money doesn't mean everything. There's other things to get you happy. So because people are going to try to take away your wealth, you have to change the way you live now, and you have to change the way you think, and you have to protect your newfound wealth so that you can help people through your charities and your foundations. The thing is that protecting wealthy people is difficult when they are in love with their own ego. It causes them to be very indiscreet. For those that are discreet, those people are going to have a lot safer life than those that are not. One of the smartest men I know once told me, in life, be an enigma, because it frightens the daylights out of the bullies. And that's, when I'm wealthy, that's the rule I live by. I am an enigma. You don't know who I am. You don't know where I am. You don't know how much money I have. And you don't know how I spend my money. And yet my money is going out and helping lots of people in lots of places. But nobody knows where it's come from. Because the difficult reality is that with this kind of wealth comes an extreme amount of risk. And people don't realize where the risk is involved at, because it's not the risk to yourself that's a problem. It's the risk to everyone that you love. Attacks can come when you never expect it. And that's what they want, is for you to not to expect it. Because a criminal is not, they're not brave. They're definitely not honest. and their nature is to be a coward, and their word means nothing. The intention of the bad guy may not be to attack you directly, and there's a word for what you are. You are called a hard target because you are the primary target. You are the one that is more aware that there is a problem, so your line of defenses are up higher, so you are a hard target. Most of the time, a criminal's intention is to take out someone you love who is vulnerable, and that's called a soft target. And I've had these comments, I've had these arguments with friends of mine. It's like, oh, I'm never going to have security. Nobody's going to get me, blah, 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 blah. And then I go, do you remember when Kim Kardashian was in a hotel and got robbed? Yeah, well, if they can get to Kardashian, you're going to be a piece of cake. That's true, folks. Let that sink in. You've seen them take down wealthy people. And those people already have a lot of security. So if they can take down a Kim Kardashian, you're a piece of cake. What these criminals count on, what they bet on, what they go for, is they believe that the fact is that the love for your child or your dog or something that they know is way important to you is greater than your love of money. This is the reason why you want to be an enigma, because it's not just protecting you. It protects the ones that you love. And for those of you that are men with family names, men with children, it's your children that have the same last name that you have. Those are the ones that are going to be the soft targets because they can find those people. So there's some tips and pointers you can use. From a security point of view, that can help you find your life a little bit easier as you go along. But you have to remember something really important, that when you gain new wealth, the most difficult thing to do is to keep your mouth shut. And I'm not talking about keeping your mouth shut. You know, I'm not going to go run over and tell my next door neighbor, hey, I'm worth $30 billion. That's not the person you're going to have a hard time with. The person that you're going to have a hard time with is your family, it's your friends, it's your business associates. And my goal for this chat for security is to give you information on your new path that's going to contribute to the humanitarian cause and that you're going about to do. So, because this humanitarian cause that you're about to do is going to be more fulfilling than any other wealth you can acquire. So let's talk about wealth management. That's first thing. In a lot of my other audios, you hear me talking about you need a wealth manager and wealth management team, okay? A lot of people don't know how to use wealth management. A wealth management is there to assist you to manage your wealth and help you so that you don't squander your money. And a lot of these people, they believe that those of us that are going to have humanitarian projects or going to have this massive amount of money, they 1,000% believe that all of us will be like lottery winners. And they're going to go broke in a short time because they don't hire the experts that can help them enjoy what they've had without ever spending their principal. Today, there's more millionaires and billionaires than there's ever been in the history of the world. And if you want to stay in that club, you need to protect yourself from making common mistakes. Who do you need in your team? Well, you need a paymaster. Paymaster pays your bills for you. And it's important because that way your bills are tracked and the accounting is done correctly. You're going to have a legal team. We're going to have a legal team that is going to be common law team when this gets started, because the Bar Association is the British accreditation registry. They're not American lawyers. They're all from Britain. They raise their hand and swear fealty to the British government. Every single person that you have in your background needs to have a background check. not in your background. Everyone that you hire, all your partners, everybody that you hire needs to have a background check, because your legal team should be able to set up with a person or a firm that specializes in background checking. When you get on this, you're going to be ready to hire people who need jobs. And you don't want to set yourself up for failure with people hiring people that you can't trust. Once you have your background checking system in place, all the personnel you hire should be checked openly. This includes arrest records, financial issues, bad reports from references. Make sure that as you build your staff, no matter if it's your personal assistant to your gardener, that they pass an independent test to make sure they can be trusted. And I mean, I'm including your lawyer. Have your security system do a background check on all your legal staff, and have one company do a background check on the personnel that you're going to hire to be your security staff. Double check everything. Some of the background check companies are Pinkerton, CenturyLink, Experian. They all have this. So let's talk about security staff. And this is the part of the topic that is always difficult. I've had 30 years experience in having personal security. Because of my background in cannabis, I always had to have personal security. How you staff your security is going to be the most challenging things you've ever done. Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to determine the risk factors. What is your risk and versus reward factor? Okay. For me, it's pretty easy. I'm 64 years old. I have 30 plus years of having a security team around me. I've competed in competitive shooting. And right now my kids are grown up, and they are very capable of protecting themselves. And so their level of security is nowhere near the type of level of security that maybe someone that's in their 40s that have kids in high school are going to have. Okay. So it's just me. I'm going to have a business. I'm going to live in a remote area. I'm going to have a guarded gate, guarded community. And most of the security firms that you're going to be looking at, you want to look at globally that can travel the world with you. And they have experience with guarding children as well, and especially children coming back and forth to school, going to different kinds of sporting events. A lot of people will get, you know, rent-a-cops and think, oh, I've got security. No, you don't. A lot of people will hire, oh, my cousin was a former military. Do you have experience in security? No, don't do that. Some of the worst people to hire are police, former retired policemen. A lot of people go, oh, I want to hire a retired policeman. No, you don't. What you want to remember is a couple of things here. Nobody is going to take a bullet for you or your family for $10 an hour, period. Another thing you need to remember is bigger is not always better. A good criminal doesn't care how big they are, because they will have a well-planned mission that accounts for this, because you're looking for somebody with skills, not size. So let's talk about this for a minute. I got taken, and the way they did it was easy. It was super easy. I didn't expect it to happen. I wasn't ready for it to happen, but it did. I did the exact same drive every morning. I got out of my grow. I went down, well, not every morning, but at least once a week. Sometimes two or three times a week, just depend. I got out of my grow, I got in my truck, I went down to the little corner bodega and got gasoline if I needed it. But more importantly, I got a cup of coffee because they let me get a free refill. And then I went and did my errands. And then when I came back up the mountain to go back to the grow, I always stopped at the same gas station. And I got a package of those little white frosted donuts. What, Hostess donuts? They're like six pack of these little white powdered sugar donuts. I don't know. Something's wrong with me. I just love those things. And I always talk to people and I say, change your route. You know, don't always go the same way. I give all kinds of information about all the things that you're not supposed to do. And what was I doing? I was going the same way. I was going the same route. And this was back in the days when they had beepers. So what they did is they paid this guy at the gas station $100 to give him a beep when I came through. So the guy did. Gave him $100. I came in, did all my errands through town, came back through town, came back to the gas station. And as I opened the door to go into the gas station, a guy put a gun to my neck. The other guy put a gun to my waist and said, get in the truck. I was lucky because where they took me to was at the bottom of the hill of where my family was. My cousins heard my screams. They had me for 20 minutes. In 20 minutes, they did so much damage to my body that I was unable to take my shirt off to go swimming because the scars, blood red scars, were still on my back at age 30. This is the reason why when I talk about security, I'm not playing. I'm dead serious. I've lived through it. And I've seen the worst that could happen to you. Back in those days, MS-13 was just getting started. And I knew that what they would do is I was going to be taken back to where they were. I was going to be tortured to give up the address of my grow. And the second I gave up the address of my grow, I would be raped. My face would be sliced. And then they would cut my throat. That's what they did to people back then. So I knew I was going to die. And there was really no way out of it. The only thing that saved me is I have this really weird memory issue. And if you scare me bad, I can't remember. I just can't. So I'm not trying to be, you know, a winner, winner, chicken dinner. I just couldn't tell them. Saved my life. My cousins came running down the mountain because they could hear me screaming. Have you ever been in a mountainous area where the hollows are? It's like a megaphone that goes up the hill. This is why I talk about security. Because a lot of people don't realize how fast, how bad the bad day can be. It can be intense. And it can be, I was walking up to the gas station and opened the door. So don't take your security lightly, folks. I talk about this stuff to wake you up, not to scare you. I talk about this stuff so that you can have a serious plan of what to do. Because if you don't have a serious plan, the bad guys will come. And you won't know what to do. So let's talk about your crew that's going to protect you. You cannot work somebody 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and expect to feel safe. There's a reason why I say do not hire retired police. Instead, hire retired military. Why? Because it costs a lot of money to train a good security. My staff has shot over 1,000 bullets through a gun. Most of my staff has shot 100,000 bullets. Okay. Bullets cost money. My staff has usually weapons training, martial arts training, and has had some kind of bodyguard training. My staff, I always pick staff that has defensive driver training. Those are some of the things you have to look at when you're hiring somebody. You want to look at these other things, like who are you trying to protect? Your wife, your kids, grandkids? Who are you trying to protect? Me? I'm not married. My kids are grown. They have a different last name than I do, so they're fairly safe. My grandkids have a different last name. I think the thing or the person that I'm trying to protect the most, and for some of you that have dogs, you're going to start laughing. But my dog, Maga, is probably the most valuable thing in my life and the most at risk because she's a soft target. One of my security team will be, well, three of my security team, because it takes three persons to guard one person 24-hour day. So my security team will be dog people because they will be tasked to take care of Mags. You're going to ask your security staff, when you go, the next thing you're going to do is you're going to do this RV, and then you're going to go look for a new house, and you're going to and get a new house. And what you might not realize is that you would be better off to get your security staff and then go look at houses. Like, what do you mean, Park? You mean take a security staff with me to look at my house? Yes, you should. Because that security staff is going to look at the way the house is set up, how easily can it be secured or not secured. They're going to want you to pick a house that's in a guarded gate community. And for that matter, don't buy new vehicles either. Because I take that to my security staff. What kind of car can I have? Because what kind of car can I have means, for you guys, what kind of vehicle is going to be the best for keeping me safe? Let your staff guide you on this, folks. It's the safest way of all. You need to ask yourself, does your security staff know how to drive in a crisis? If not, they need training. Okay. Ask yourself when you're starting to put together your staff, do you plan on traveling? Where do you plan on traveling? When do you plan on traveling? Will you have enough help on the ground when you get there? Back in my salad days when I was running and burning, I always had a team of four people with me when I went internationally or I started traveling. And I had one young-looking guy, one young-looking girl. Oh, I love having female security staff, but that's a whole new conversation. And then an older member that looked my age. Because when I'm out in Europe, I want to look like a tourist. I want to look like I'm just my husband and my kids, and we are just looking around. You blend in, okay? In Europe, they don't have guns. A lot of places you're going to find out that they don't have guns. And because they don't have guns, you want a passive-aggressive security. So figuring out if you're going to travel, help on the ground, do you have – and the other thing you need to figure out is, do you have facilities or assets that you need protection as well? Excuse me, I didn't mean to burp in your ear. My house is always going to have security staff in it, whether or not I'm home. Because I plan international projects, I know I'm going to have at least two homes, probably three. And whether or not I'm there, I'm having security staff 24 hours on my property. If you hire a friend or somebody that's in security, you need to make sure that these people are going to go for the training that they need. Ask yourself, do I need training? What kind of security do I need? Should I get trained on how to protect myself? When I've had security staff before, I tell my staff, I said, you need to teach me your methods of self-protection. And they usually do. They have a blast with it, usually. You also want to think of how much do I want to budget for these ongoing costs? And if your head's not swimming by now, it should be. It doesn't take very long, guys. When they stuck a gun in my neck and pushed me in the car, they had stolen me in less than 5 seconds. 10 seconds. Well, less than 10 seconds. Tops. The damage that they were able to do on my body. My jaw was fractured so badly I couldn't close my jaw. I've had 3 surgeries in my life for them to rebuild it. The burns, cuts, and all the crap they did to my back. I am now 64 years old, and it wasn't until my 50s that I was able to take my shirt off in public. Well, you know, I had a bathing suit on, but I mean, not flashing the girls. I mean, the damage was severe. Now, when I take my shirt off, it just looks like you can see one really major scar still. But everything else is all light scars, because it's, you know, 50 years later. Is your head swimming yet? If not, it should be. The fact is that when you're looking for security, you're looking for specialized, highly qualified individuals. And in the United States, a lot of my countrymen tend to lead towards great big guys who have no talent, but they think, oh, size is a deterrent and this guy will scare them. The guy that stole me, that took me, he weighed probably 20 pounds more than me. And back in those days, I was 125, 135 pounds. This guy was 5'5", 5'6". He wasn't much taller than me. So size is not a deterrent, especially when you're going to Europe, because the gun laws are, most bodyguards can't have gun laws. So remember, when you travel abroad, to keep your body, that you're going to have a bodyguard that will not be armed with a firearm. So this means you've got to hire somebody with massive organizational skills that can fit in and blend in with your party, as opposed to just, I'm a big boy, you know. And this is going to be invaluable when you go in international property, international lands. I tend to hire at least 25% of my crew is female, because especially when you go internationally, most people never dream, oh, that girl's, you know, an officer, that girl is, you know, security. They just never think of it. Another type of person that you want to look at is hiring somebody prior military. Love me some prior military. And then I got, oh, that's so great. You're so American. You know, this is positive. You're hiring prior military. Well, the truth of the matter is, although I do love our military, there's a very, very, very selfish reason for hiring military. It's back to the same thing. Bullets are expensive. Most special ops personnel, they've fired probably a million practice rounds. My bare minimum for security is 100,000 rounds. Military is firing a million. Bullets are expensive. So if you're going to hire somebody that is not military, somebody you know, they need to fire at least a 50,000 rounds. And not 50,000 rounds kerplunk, kerplunk, kerplunk. I mean 50,000 rounds in a competitive situation, high stress situation. Because if it's not high stress, you're not going to know who and what you've got with you. Bottom line. Weapons and bullets cost a lot of money. One of the most important things to remember is how much people know about you, how much people know about your family, how much people know about your business, about your humanitarian projects. If you follow some of these recommendations I'm giving you, you need to be an Enigma, because being an Enigma can save you a whole lot of money when it comes to security. And this doesn't just mean you being Enigma. This means your whole family. So for those of you that have 16-year-old children, do not give them a Lamborghini to go to high school with. Okay? That's just like, pick me, steal me, come get me. My mom doesn't care about me. Okay? No, they do not. You do not buy your children brand new cars, no matter what. In fact, I wouldn't even tell my kids about the RV. The less people that know, the better. The only people that really should know is your husband or your wife, okay? Because kids are kids, folks. And especially girls, they're the worst, because they like to tell their friends how great their life is, as just the selfishness of a teenager. So they may have good intentions. They're not trying to actually brag. They're just proud of what we're doing. This is great, you know? Their intentions are good. So you try to look at all these different things. You try to figure out what your needs are. One of the things I wanted to do, I haven't figured out if I'm going to do it yet, is I want, you know, and this is, you know, you may have other people online that you're working with and you really like and you want to do things together. I would highly, 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 highly suggest that you start a training center for you and your team. Like, I have a team of admins, and there's about 30 of them, and there's about 5 of us that are going to band together, and we're going to have our own security. Now, why do we want to do that? Well, because we're all in the same industry. Our humanitarian plans are almost identical. We're going to run into each other out in the real world. We're going to run into each other out in the real world. And because of that, I want our bodyguards to know each other. I want them to know, Michael over there is one of Ms. Parker's friends. Jane over there is one of the gals that Ms. Parker works with. Robin over there, you see what I'm saying? So you want to have, there's good and bad ways to look at it about who you have in your security. Because a lot of the things I'm going to be doing is going to be the same as my friends, I want the staff to all work together. That way, if I have a grand opening and I'm going to invite, you know, a lot of my humanitarian friends, I don't need to have issues with all the staff. If the staff all know each other because they're with the same service, that means I've got like 15 staff. Let's pick on Imy. Imy has an event and she needs to hire another, you know, 5 or 6 people. So I say, hey, Imy, let me send you my crew. It's a win-win situation. And this is how a lot of high-end people will work with each other. What you got to do in the end is just roll all these things together and try to figure out what your real needs are. And if you do decide to have security, it will have a direct impact on your peace of mind. And peace of mind is the one thing you can't buy. So give a lot of it a great deal of thought. In the end, the bodyguards I've had in the past have been amazing friends and wonderful confidence. Wonderful confidence in where I go, and a wonderful confidant to be working with. I respect the team that protects me, because even though I know I'm paying them very well, in the end, if everything goes straight to the devil, it's going to be them protecting all of us. So think very carefully about who you hire. Martial arts. I've had a lot of people ask me, well, Ms. Parker, do you think we should do martial arts? Well, I don't know. Martial arts is, I mean, learning to protect yourself is always important, you know. But how you want to do that is up to you. The more tools in your bag, the better. Fighting skills are like anything else. You get what you pay for. What I did in the past is I didn't have my kids go to martial arts school. I hired a guru to come work for me and teach my family privately. And it's not as hard as you would think. And you would be amazed that there are some serious, serious hardcore guys out there who don't teach martial arts for a living. There's no sign on their doors. But I've met masters of the arts working in Chinese restaurants. I've met masters as high school coaches. And I've met retirees from the military that have forgotten more about fighting than most martial arts gurus. And believe it or not, if you ask them nicely, they're usually really happy to teach you what they know to you or your kids. And another thing you want to think about is perhaps using locator beacons. A lot of your security staff these days, they put locator tags on all different kinds of stuff you have. So in case you or your family member goes missing, they can track them by a beacon. The other thing you want to consider hiring is an expert at finding and retrieving people safely. They're called retrieval experts. So that's somebody that you want to consider hiring on your team. Are you a retrieval expert? These guys are trained in retrieving people safely and negotiate how to get people out of bad things. When you're looking at your home, you're going to have to consider home security. And a lot of times, your security staff will work with you on that. This is the reason why when I say when you're looking for a new home, you need to take your security with you, okay? So they can look at it and go, okay, this house is great because, you know, the alarm, you're safe, you're secure, you're well protected. And today's security alarm systems, they're just cat's potatoes, man. They're just fantastic. Not only they can be alarmed, but you can see your cameras and you can speak from your cell phone if you need to. I mean, the technology is amazing. But one of the things I talk about, let's go to safe rooms before we get to the next part. Your house should be, there should be a safe room in your house. With this kind of wealth, you should have a safe room in your house. And that's the biggest reason why I take security with me when I go to look for a house, because I want them to look at my house to tell me, can you make a safe room in this house? Can you make a secure room in this house that has everything I need to hide, fight, and communicate if the bad day, the bad guy comes? Can we put food, water, camera, weapons, ammo, along with their own power supply in the safe room? Has to be their own power supply, because if the bad guy cuts the power, and they do, you're toast. Should be able to put all your valuables stored there as well. So get a safe room expert when you first get your new house. And it's worth every penny, folks. It's worth every penny. One of the biggest things, the biggest proponent I am, is a proponent in layered security. What's that mean, layered security? It means that when the bad guy comes, you want them to have to go through several obstacles before getting to your front door. Some of those obstacles could be gated security, security walls, dogs, security lights or alarms, whatever you can do to put a crimp in their style. Well, me, I have a way. So for those of you listening to this, you're probably not going to see what I'm going to show you. But I plant several natural, if you guys take a peek in the channel right now, you're going to have a heart attack. These are called thorn trees, okay? They're an African thorn tree. And they grow pretty much all over the United States. There's different versions of them. So I'm showing some of the pictures of these things so you can see what I'm talking about. These have thorns anywhere from 4 to 5 inches long. They are massive. And there's nothing quite as satisfactory as knowing that the bad guy has impaled themselves on a bunch of these thorns. This is another one. It's called the honey locust tree. Locust, locust, locust. No, I don't know how to say that word properly. Locust, sorry. There's a honey locust tree. Okay. These are Springfield plateaus. Different type of thorn tree. I use plants as part of my security. Okay. A lot of you have seen acacia trees. They're so beautiful. A lot of people are not aware that acacia trees have nearly 2-inch long hook thorns. So what I do on the outside of my, here is Santa Cruz, California. These are called Santa Cruz trees and they're thorn trees. Aren't those thorns amazing? So what I do is I plant a perimeter of thorn trees and I make it so there's only one or two. I do two entrance and exits to my property. And the reason why I do two entrance and exits to my property and plant the trees really, really tight, like 2 feet apart, there's a thorn tree with no leaves on it. It's pretty impressive, aren't they? Because when the bad guys come, I want to funnel how they leave my property so that they have to go through a certain area, okay? If they decide and get stupid to go through the thorn trees, they're not going to make it. They're going to get impaled. Because I have a layer of roses, I have a layer of acacia trees. Let me get this one. Here's an image of an acacia tree. This is an acacia tree. So some of them have the curved hooks and some of them have the straight spines. If they're running at night away from my dogs or away from my security, they're gonna try to breach the perimeter where the plants are. If they try to breach the perimeter of the plants are, they can't see what's waiting for them. And it's thorn trees. I've had the gleeful experience of having one of my staff chase somebody through the thorn trees. They didn't get very far and they had to have an ambulance come get them because this idiot ran head first into a thorn tree and pierced his right eye. I don't like people that are trying to kill me. I don't like people that are trying to kidnap me. So as much as I was disappointed that he was injured, I mean, the goal is not to injure him. The goal is to never have these people come on your property. It's like, well, karma got you, baby. Sorry, not sorry, okay? So that's my first line of defense is my outside perimeter, my trees, then the acacia trees, and last but not least, roses. And you want to get the old school roses because the older roses have really big thorns. So you plant the roses, and I like climbing roses. You plant the roses in the very front. That way the bad guys can't see. There's all kinds of bad stuff once they go past the roses. That's what I do. This is what I have done to every single piece of property I've ever lived at. I want security. I want layered security. And if you're going to come on my property and you're going to try to kill me, game's on, son of a gun, game's on. So I use layered security and I start with plants. And not a lot of people do this because they're just not aware that this is a different type or different layer of security. Another part to your security is staying well, staying healthy. It's kind of a no-brainer when it comes to your wealth. Some people are going to be really well-versed and motivated, and some are not. So you're going to need to have a personal trainer to get on your behind to get you out and get you exercise and get wealthy. Get healthy. Wealthy, healthy, and wise. You're going to need a personal trainer. When I was young, I was pretty athletic, and I'm extremely driven to win at any cost. I mean, if I have to run my body to the ground to win, I'm running, okay? So in time, we get less motivated, and we don't take the time to eat or exercise right. So you're going to need to hire the right personal trainer that's going to keep you fit and motivated, and that's going to help with your safety as well. And I am loath to admit that I have never liked any of my personal trainers either. I swear they're awful people. I don't know why they would want to make me run that much. That's not true. But I don't like any of my trainers. I never have. Because I'm nice to them, I'm civil to them. But the whole time I'm cussing at them under my breath. What the heck you mean I need to do 15 push-ups? Look, do you see these arms? Personal trainer is important. And then again, hand in hand with that is a nutritionist. I'm a little plump girl, okay? Yeah, the med beds are coming, but I want to not eat the wrong thing or not eat too much. I mean, I don't want to be going to the med beds every 6 months like, I'm fat again, fix me, you know? So you want a nutritionist who's going to work with your personal trainer. And that way you're putting the right stuff in your body because it's crucial, it's critical to stay well. You're chosen, folks. You're not here by accident. The people that come into my channel, these are the people I pray for those to come in my channel that want to do programs for their state, that want to do programs for their country, that want to do programs for their globe. If you're not doing that, get out of here. You don't need to be in here. The type of security, the type of projects, the type of things I want are major, major programs, major humanitarian stuff. So if you're not making a major impact, you probably aren't going to need this kind of crew. But if you get out there and about and start, you know, doing massive humanitarian projects, you have got to have security. And I'm sorry for those of you that, oh, I don't want to ever have security. Well, there's ways you can do that. Have a compound fence around your property and make sure the fence is taller than the people are that are walking around your property. So you can't see them when they walk around your property. Talk to your staff and say, look, I really don't want to have security, but I know I have to have it. Can you help me get over this by being as invisible as you possibly can be? I've been on super yachts before. I've been on super yachts that have staffs of 30 people, and it feels like I'm all alone on the boat. Security staff know how to make themselves invisible, and they'll help you do it. The next thing you want to be considered about is your social media habits. Because up to now, you know, your social media, it really doesn't matter. Your email, your passwords, your tweets, you know, they're all convenient. But the day the wealth comes, all that has to change. Because the trifecta of information and invasion of your personal information became true and solid when Google bought Facebook for billions of dollars. Who then in turn bought YouTube, and then they bought Google Maps. It's just a marketing tool to find you and catch you and set it up for the bad guys to have a better day. You can look at your Facebook and say, oh, I've got 2,500 friends. But how many of them would give you a couch to sleep on if you called them? There's acquaintances and there's friends. And unfortunately, most people, they think friends are, their acquaintances are their friends. But when the chips are down, you find out smack quick who's your friend and who's your acquaintance. Rebuild your brand. Rebuild your privacy. Close your Facebook account. If you still really like Facebook, create an alias, never using your real name. Drop your phone, get a new phone number. Too many people and things are attached to your current phone number. Close your Google, Yahoo, and all public email accounts. I use ProtonMail for my email. Proton.com, ProtonMail.com. Close and delete any messengers like Facebook. Use encrypted sites. I don't know if Telegram is still encrypted. I'm hoping it is. I have to do some research on it. Delete Skype. Skype's owned and easily hacked by Microsoft. And Microsoft hates deleting accounts. You have to call them to get your account deactivated. Now that's bad. use a program like Zoom, but I think even Zoom has now been hacked. I don't know. I hope this little chat has given you a couple of things to think of that you haven't thought of before. I do this chat because I want my humanitarian army to be safe. I do this chat because I want you to be comfortable in running the humanitarian project that you are planning to do. Thank you for taking the time to listen. God bless you, humanitarians. God bless you for the projects you're about to do. Now go out there and keep yourself safe. This is Ms. Parker, RV Doc Help. Thank you very much for listening. And that is the end of my program. So does anybody have any questions that they want to ask? Well, if that's it, I'm stopping the recording. Thank you very much, folks.
I just want to say thank you.